It is my great privilege to be here with you today. We are David and Lucy Lyle, and we are volunteer missionaries with the Church of the Nazarene, and we were sent to Malawi, Africa. And if you don't know where that's at, it's kind of down in the southern part of Africa, kind of towards the east, and we border Mozambique and Zambia and Tanzania. And it was just a little tiny sliver of a country right in between all those countries. It's a tiny little country, but yet there's 19.5 million people that live there, which if you look at Mozambique, which is a much bigger country, has the same population. And so it's a very, very heavily populated country. And I'm here today to share with you the great news that God is on the move in Africa, and he's on the move in Malawi. And right now, the Africa field is the fastest growing area of the Church of the Nazarene. And I don't know if it's already happened or within a couple years it'll happen, but 4 out of every 10 Nazarenes will be from Africa. So that kind of gives you an idea of how quickly it's growing. And so we get to be a part of that. So I want to share with you, before I talk about what we do, I'm going to share a quick video with you. It's about 5 minutes long, and it just gives you a little bit of a glimpse of our life in Malawi. And so I hope you enjoy it, and then I'll come back when it's finished. Well, that just gives you kind of a little bit of a glimpse of what we get to experience every day in Malawi. And I hope you enjoyed some of the beauty of Malawi. And for me, to see the faces of the people at our campus and staff and the people that we work with makes me a little bit homesick. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm wishing I was going back there tomorrow. but we are enjoying our time on home assignment, but we do miss Africa every day, so I'm looking forward to February when we get to go back. As we share with you a little bit about what we do there, I want to just start out with a Bible verse that speaks to me a lot, and I often refer to this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. It says this: "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." One of the things that is a vital part of our ministry in Malawi is some of the ministries that go on outside of our campus. In the video, we mentioned a couple of those things. One was our CDC programs, which stands for Child Development Centers. And we have a number of our pastors who have come out of our school and have gone back to their local villages or different areas around Malawi and have become pastors. And almost all of these pastors that are serving these churches have started a child development center. And I want to just give you one example of one of our pastors. His name is Emmanuel Manarikiza, and he was a graduate of our college in 2011. He is a Rwandan refugee that came to Malawi. He's been in Malawi now for about 12 years. And he, as he graduated, he began, number one, he started a church in a refugee camp that's about an hour north of our school. So he began a Nazarene church there. But he also is pastoring a church locally near our college. He just opened up a child development center. Within about 2 months of opening this center, he's already got about 150 children attending his CDC programs every week. And these CDC programs involve feeding the kids a meal or a snack. It involves some education. It involves Bible training. It involves recreation. And it's a way to just look after those kids that are at risk, those who are the children that are vulnerable, and it's a way to take care of orphans. And so that's just one of the examples of one of our students that graduated from our college and is going out and being Jesus to his community. We mentioned also in the video you saw about food security and food distribution. And oftentimes we have experienced in recent years drought conditions in Malawi, and it often involves hunger issues and food crises. And another one of our students that is a graduate of our college, his name is Chipi Charlie, and his wife Annie. They both graduated from our school in 2010. But Chipi, he's just one of these amazing guys that he just goes out and does things. He's just a visionary guy, and he's a guy of action. And he went back to his home village, which is about an hour away from our campus. He's pastoring the church along with his wife. He has planted about 7 other churches in and around his area. And he has also started child development centers in those 7 churches that he's planted. But he is also one of our leaders with Nazarene Compassionate Ministries in Malawi that handles food distribution when we have a hunger crisis. And we receive food on these big trucks, and we take them out to a central area, and people will come from miles away to come and receive a large bag of maize for them to cook their food. They'll receive about 5 kilos of beans. They'll receive 5 liters of cooking oil. And it's a way to help the communities, and it's an outreach to those communities so that they can feed their children, feed their families, and they can get through those months where there isn't crops. And it's become a very vital ministry in Malawi. And another thing that is very important in Malawi is clean water. And we have been involved through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries in putting water wells. We try to go into areas where we have our churches, and we try to install wells on our church property because it's a tremendous outreach to the community when you have a clean water well on your church property and you open that up to the community. And my home church in Eugene has been a partner with the work in Malawi for about 10 years now. And this last year, they have sponsored 4 new water wells in Malawi. And we've partnered with some other churches to do some more through Compassionate Ministries, Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. And one of the villages that we got to put one in this year was, it's about 3 hours away from Lilongwe where we live. It's near Lake Malawi, and it's kind of a remote area. But one of our former students, his name is Theugen, another Rwandan refugee that came to Malawi, and he went out and took this job as pastor. And he married a Malawian woman who happens to be the sister-in-law of the head of Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. And and he's began this church with basically nothing. He's built it up to over 100 members, adult members, and has a child development center running also that's over 100 children. And we were able to bring a well to this church and in this community because one of the issues that community was having was when there's drought, there's no water, and they would have to walk long distances to get water. And the people that have to walk the long distances are the girls and the women, and they have to go get the water, and then they become vulnerable to being victimized by other people in other villages. So we were able to bring this well to the church property. And the village chiefs were so excited when we brought that well to them. And it just gave Reverend Theugen, it gave him so much credibility with the community and with the chiefs. and it's been an outreach, and it has increased their church membership, and it is just strengthening his ministry through the clean water wells. So these are just three areas where we get to help in Malawi outside of our college. But let me just share with you about our college. You know, Lucy and I were assigned to work at the college. My job on campus is I am the project and development coordinator for, it's called Nazarene Theology College of Central Africa, and it's located in Lilongwe, Malawi, which is the capital of Lilongwe. And so my job is the project coordinator, and then Lucy is working in the office in the registry department, and so she is handling the academic records for all of our students, and she's going back and bringing all the old records up to date and organizing them, and so we have a lot of work to do on our campus. The Nazarene Theology College of Central Africa, we currently have about 40 pastoral students in our college. And right now, of those 40, we are excited about the fact that we have 10 women pastor students in our college. And there is an emphasis in Africa and in Malawi with the Church of the Nazarene to raise up women pastors and women leaders in the church. And so we're very excited that we have 10 ladies in our church or in our school right now that are studying in this 3-year program of theology. So it's a great honor for us to watch them and work alongside them. My job as the project coordinator, when we arrived in February of 2017, I was told that we want you to oversee a project for a multi-purpose hall that we want to build on our campus. And you saw some of the pictures of it in the video. We began the project in February of this year, and we've had some work and witness teams from New Mexico, work and witness teams from Oregon, work and witness teams from Washington that have come to help us begin this project. And it's a big project. It's a big building. One of the reasons that we are doing this is because we have just outgrown our facilities, and the chapel that we have right now will comfortably seat about 150 people. And when you get more than that, you get up around 200, it's just so full. And when we have a graduation ceremony each year for our college, there's usually 300 or 400 people there, along with all the board of trustees and all of the district superintendents from all the three countries that we represent. So it's just not enough space for us to do. We also, with our private schools, our secondary school has about 500 students in our secondary school, and they hold a chapel service every Wednesday afternoon. And our chapel building, when you get 400 or 500 high school students in a place like that, it's very crowded. We usually have kids on both sides at the doors, standing in the doors. We have them in the windows behind looking inside. So this multi-purpose hall is going to give us the space that we need to accommodate certain activities that we do on a regular basis. But the other thing it's going to do is it's going to allow us to be very flexible. It will become the focal point of our campus, and there is it'll be an outreach also to our community around us. The area where our school is located is the fastest growing area in Lilongwe, and there's a huge demand for venues that have space to accommodate a lot of people. So this place will be used, we can rent it out for weddings, we can rent it out for conventions, we can use it for district assembly with our own church, we can use it for graduation ceremonies. So it's going to be a very vital part of our campus, and this will also help us to produce revenue for the school that will allow us to help develop other areas in the campus. So we are very excited about getting this project done. Currently, we are about 30% complete. You saw on the pictures that we have the foundation, we have the concrete slab for the floor, and we have the first level of walls that are done, and that's where we stand right now. So we are now looking for partners, and we're looking for people that would come alongside of us and help us finish this project and to get the other 70% done and get the roof on. And our goal is to try to finish this project this next year in 2019, And we would love to hold our 2019 graduation ceremony in our new building, if at all possible. So we understand that, you know, this is the Lord's plan, and it, and He's directing this. And so we're just waiting and we're praying for the next phase for this to happen. And that's part of the reason why we're here today, is to tell everyone about it. And so we want to share that with you today. Another thing I'd like to share with you about our school is that one of the things that Lucy and I get to do is we get to not only get to be around these students and the staff every day and to see them grow on our campus and to come through the program, but it's also exciting for us to see them when they graduate and they go away from us. And I gave you the examples of a few of our older students that have graduated in the past. But I want to tell you a little story about one couple that just graduated this year in May. Their name is Alan and Evanus, and they met at the campus. They were from villages that are kind of near each other, but they didn't know each other before they came to school. And then they came to school and they met each other. They fell in love and they started, you know, they got engaged. And Lucy and I, we would tease them a lot because in Africa, it's hard to tell when a couple's engaged. You know, in America, when you have a girlfriend or you have a fiance, you know, you sit close together, you know, and you have your arm around them, and you know, you tell everybody else, you know, stay away from my girl. And and in Africa, we didn't even know that Alan and Evanus really even knew each other. You know, when they'd come into chapel, she'd come in this door and he'd come in this door, and she'd sit on this side and he'd sit on this side, and we had no idea that they were, you know, a couple. And then we found out that they're engaged, and we kind of became friends with them through different circumstances, but as we got to know them a little bit, we kind of started teasing them about, you know, hey, how come you guys, how come we never see you together, you know? And so they invited us to come out to the village where they were going to be pastoring when they graduated. They invited us one Sunday to come out there. So when I was speaking at their church, you know, I kind of told this story about how, you know, Alan comes in this door and they comes in this door, and everybody was kind of laughing, and it was kind of a fun deal. And guess what? Monday morning at chapel, those two came in together at the same door, and they came in and sat right next to us on the same side, right next to each other. So so there was no doubt about that they were engaged, but they're just the cutest little couple. And they've been a blessing to us. And as we got to know them, we just kind of fell in love with this couple. So they graduated on May 12th. Both of them finished their three-year program. And on May 26th, they were married. And they had their wedding right in our chapel at our college. And Lucy and I got to be there for the day. We got to have them to our house for the picture taking. And it was just a great day of celebration with them. And but then they went out to their village to pastor their church. And we didn't see them or hear from them for a little while. But just before we came home, they invited us to come out again to their church, and asked us to come and share with them. So we got to take a trip out there. And one of the amazing things about this young couple is they go back out and they're pastoring this church. And one of the first things that Alan did as the pastor of the church is he recognized three young people in his church that he felt had a call to ministry. And he organized them to come to our campus. So we have three new students because of this one couple that went out to their village, and he's brought them into our campus. So now we have two young ladies and another young man that came, that are students at our campus, and now we're getting the chance to get to know them. And so we're enjoying that. But we got to go out this day, and we took those three students with us that day. It was kind of like, you know how it is when you're in college and you got that weekend and you get to go home for the first time, you know, on, after you've been in college. And they were all three of them so excited to, you know, that they had a ride out to their home village, and they didn't have to take the minibus and they didn't have to walk for 7 kilometers. And they were just excited that we had a ride. And so we had a great day with them. And, but the thing we got to witness as we were out there that day was the ministry that they're already doing. This young couple, they just came out to this village and they've just begun pastoring. And Alan is the senior pastor. Evanus is working as the children's pastor. And we got to watch them shepherd their church. They have about 80 adult members so far. The little building that they worship in was just jam-packed because they have 180 children that come to their church. And it's just amazing how many kids they've already brought in. And they really have a heart for children's ministry. And so we got to be there this day. And then we, after church, we were sitting around at Evanus's grandfather's house having lunch. And we got to watch Alan mentor these young people that he brought to our college. And he was telling them, now make sure that you get your assignments done in time. And make sure that you work hard. And don't skip classes. And he was just teaching them. And we thought, wow, this is what it's about, is to, you know, to build into people the next generation and to help build the kingdom. And so we're excited for the future of these three young students that came to us. We're excited for Alan and Evanus and their church. They have a desire to begin a child development center in their church. And really, they're already doing it, but they're just doing it with what little resources they have. And so they're hoping to get their child development center registered and get a sponsor for their program, so that they can be really effective in reaching out to the children and have the resources that they need. So they've been just an encouragement to us. They've been an example to us of what our school is about, because we have this college. And we have these students that come, and we have dozens and dozens of examples of people that came through our program, and they went out to their villages, and they're being Jesus to their communities, and they're meeting the needs. Because when you're a pastor in Africa, you don't just be a pastor, because you don't go to your village and pastor a church and have a salary. None of our pastors in Malawi have a salary. They may get some stipends from their congregation. The churches may have a pastor appreciation day, and they'll bring maybe a chicken and maybe some of their maize from their crops, or maybe some fruits and vegetables that they've got from their crop, and they'll bring that as a gift for appreciation for the pastor. But none of our pastors have a salary. So every one of our pastors is bivocational, so they have to have some means to support themselves. So they, you know, they work as farmers. They are the business manager for their community. They teach people things like sewing or farming techniques or how to run a small business. When you're a pastor in Malawi, you wear all of these hats, and you don't just get to be a pastor and you don't just preach. You have to serve your communities in many different ways, and so. We have been able to watch these young people come through our system, go out and meet the needs of their communities, and I wish I had the time to tell you all of their stories, but over the 10 years that we've been involved in Malawi and the 2 years that we've been there living there, we've seen dozens of people come through our school and have and gone on to become pastors or even teachers at schools and things like that. And we've had a number of our students that have gone on to pursue a bachelor's degree through Africa Nazarene University in Nairobi. So we have a number of students that have done that. And just this last weekend, we had three of our staff members at our college have just received their master's degree through ANU. And they were traveling to Nairobi just after we left. They were headed to Nairobi for the graduation ceremonies at Africa Nazarene. And we were seeing the pictures on Facebook over this weekend as they were sharing. So it's a great place. It's a wonderful place that we get to share, and we get to come alongside these pastors and these staff members and these students and be a part of the work that's going on in Malawi. And it's just a tremendous blessing for us as missionaries just to come and be there. And, you know, we're as missionaries, you know, you would think the missionary, you know, been to seminary, has all this training and stuff. But our story is a little different. We're not your typical missionaries. We are volunteers. I spent 35 years working in the tire industry and in the retail tire business. And so I have no particular skills when it comes to being a missionary. I'm just a guy. And Lucy, she's the same way. You know, she was a homemaker for a lot of the years. She was working as a secretary at our local church in Eugene. So both of us had that feeling of, you know, what could we do? How would the Lord use us? And my encouragement to you today is that if the Lord has put something in your heart to do for missions, do not ignore it, because he will keep after you. And I tried to ignore it for years and years. And now I live in Africa as a missionary. And but it's also one of the biggest blessings of my life is to share and work and to serve the Lord in Malawi. And so I want to be an encouragement to any of you that have ever thought, you know, that maybe the Lord would have something for you to do, whether it's short term, long term, whether it's, you know, just being Jesus to your neighbor. We all have something to do. And so just be sensitive to that and be open to that, because no matter where you come from, no matter where you've been, no matter what your education level is, no matter what your professional level is, the Lord can use you if you're just willing to be used by him, and he will bless you for being open to that. And we have felt the blessing that the Lord has given to us by just being willing to go and serve and to be available for him. And we have a blessing every single day to live in Malawi and to serve alongside our brothers and sisters there. And I love every day that I'm there. So I just encourage you in that way. And I want to just share with you a couple things as we finish up here. Number one, I want to share with you a couple life verses that have had an impact on me in my journey to Africa. And first of all, one of the verses that was very impactful for me after my very first work and witness trip that I went to in Mozambique in 2000 was in First John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And it says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." And that verse really convicted me, we as Americans, we don't understand really how it is in third world countries. And when you go to that third world country, it can be very shocking and disturbing, like it was to me the very first time I came. When we're willing to open up our hearts to helping others, the Lord blesses us by doing that. And I was just really convicted by that, but I was also inspired to do something from that verse. And another verse that's had an impact on me that's very familiar probably to many of you is in James chapter 1, verse 27, and it says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And you know, that's a big part of our work, is to look after orphans and widows. And we get to stand beside these pastors that are ministering to children, to women, to vulnerable people every single day. We get to see the work that they're doing. And so we count it a privilege for us to just be someone that stands alongside them and is a resource for them and is a partner with them. And we would invite you to be a partner also, whether it's going to Cuba, which I understand your church has been involved in Cuba, whether it's going to another part of America, or whether maybe the Lord is inspiring you to come to Africa, we would invite you to be open to that. And if you do have any desire to come to Africa, we'll be glad to share during the Sunday School Hour the next time some more details about that. But also, we want you to know that your room is ready, and we have a place for you to stay. So we invite you to come, and we invite you to see what's going on in Malawi. So I just thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. I see that our time is up, and I could talk for hours and hours because I have been in Africa, and the African preachers, they preach for about 3 hours. So, but I won't do that to you in America. But thank you so much for allowing us just to come be with you and to share with you. And I do have to say we have really enjoyed our 2 weekends in New England. Never been to New England before in my life, and this is just a beautiful part of the world. And I can certainly see why you all love to live here. So just thank you for allowing us just to come and to share a little bit of your part of the country for a few days. And so thank you, and I just pray the Lord's blessing on you and this church, and we're so grateful and humbled that you invited us to come. Thank you so much.
One thing, what Dave was saying, many things resonated with me. One thing in particular, we were talking about clean water. I took my phone out and put the calculator function on it. In the period of time we've been in here this morning, 360 children have died as a result of not having clean water because of waterborne illnesses. 360 kids. The Church of the Nazarene, through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, has a Christmas project for individuals or churches. And maybe we can look into that for clean water wells. And maybe that might be something. It just resonated with me. Maybe it will with you as well, about what we could do to keep some more kids alive. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for the privilege, the opportunity of being together this morning and hearing of your love. And as I heard Dave say it at least twice about these young people who have gone out and they are being Jesus to their world. That encouragement, Lord, that I have used forever, that we would always leave this place and we might be Jesus to our world here in this part of New Hampshire. For Lord, I ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Lord be with you. Have a great day, and I hope you can stay and visit with them or be a part of another discipleship class.